The Selfish Path to Romance. Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com and at amazon.com.
And right before the break, I was talking with Anna. Anna, you're still there?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah. Your situation is that you had, past tense, a dear friend, and she's been a friend for 10 years, but over or you said 8 or 9 years, but over that time the friendship has morphed, it's changed, and she's gone from being a good friend or potentially good friend to going through some difficulties in her own life, 2 divorces, but the way she handled it was to turn to the bottle, and instead of facing facts, facing reality, she tried to drink them away, and she became aggressive. She's become even violent towards you, and you look at yourself as the helping person, and your goal in life is to turn her around, right?
Yes.
To rescue her.
Yes.
And you feel like a failure if you don't rescue her.
Yes.
And right before the break, I said what?
You tell me that why am I still helping her? Why do I still have her as a friend, knowing that she has been there, being aggressive towards me? That why don't I get a better environment of better friends, positive friends?
Right, that the one person that you're not being a friend to by staying with her and subjecting yourself to her every single day of your life is yourself. And I would love for the first friend that you have, if you want to call it a friend, is to be good to yourself. To value yourself so much that you decide which friends you learn to choose better. Which friends are good, which friends are not good. Which friends bring you joy and pleasure, and they're not a problem to fix. I mean, periodically, you always lean on one another's shoulders, but you don't want to go out there finding problems to fix, because otherwise, if you feel like it's in your court to make her a better person, you could be doing this for another decade and feel real depressed. So let me give you the circumstances under which you are a reasonable person would reach out to help someone.
Okay.
And these are from my favorite author, Ayn Rand, A-Y-N-R-A-N-D. And if you haven't read her book, The Fountainhead, I highly recommend it. It's on tape, it's on MP3, it's on CD, and I think you can even rent it at libraries, but never get the abridged version. Her book is just such a wonderful eye-opener. It's on my website too, drkenner.com. So here are the circumstances. You help someone when...
Hey, I got to interrupt this because we've got to pay some bills. 30 seconds, that's it. A very quick ad, and then Alan will be back.
Romance. Ugh. I wish guys knew more about what we want from a relationship. Boy, I wish I knew more about what I want. Where's that ad I saw? Here it is. The Selfish Path to Romance. A serious romance guidebook. Download Chapter 1 for free at selfishromance.com and buy it at amazon.com. The Selfish Path to Romance. That is interesting.
So here are the circumstances. You help someone when it's through no fault of their own. Drugs and alcohol are their choices, aren't they?
Yes.
But if a person, for example, got in a car accident, and it wasn't because they were driving drunk at the wheel, it was an accident, then, and you love the person, it's a mother, a father, or a good friend, and there you can go visit them at the hospital, bring them flowers, make chicken soup for them, you can help them out, that's loving. Or if they just had a baby, you know, you want to help out, that's fine. The death of a loved one, you could help out. The house fire, a hurricane, that's very different from self-made difficulties. And you also only help a person out if it's not a chronic, lifelong thing. I mean, assuming it's not your kids, you know, who are troubled. But if it's a chronic, when I say kids, meaning if you have a disabled kid, you're not going to just say, this is long term, so I'm out of here, honey. You know, but if you have someone that's going to mooch off of you, who's going to use your kindness as a weapon against you to get money from you, to get help from you, to get sympathy that they haven't earned, that's not good. If it's just short range, they had a house fire, you help them get back on their feet, and then they buy a new house, they get back to a job or something. Or it's a hurricane, you help them out, and then they get back on their feet. If they're genuinely appreciative, then it's proper to help them out. You know, not feeling like you owe it to them, but they're genuinely thankful. Not groveling, but just, thanks so much, you know, I'm so glad you were here. If you value them, this should have been number one, if you value the person, you know, it could even be neutral. It could be someone that's stuck in a snowstorm. But if it's somebody that's out to hurt you, you drop them like a hot potato. And if this woman has threatened to kill you and she's been violent and she's very angry, you can just say sayonara to her. I mean, you don't even owe her an explanation, because she could explode and blow up at you. You've been her punching bag. How dare you, her punching bag, dare to leave her? Mm-hmm. Another is that you help a person when it's not a sacrifice on your part. So you can help, for example, if you don't have any money, and the little money you earn you put towards furthering your education, and she comes and she needs some money because she got in another car accident, she was drinking while intoxicated, and so you give her the money, you bail her out, you give her more money. No, you're throwing away your future. Choose yourself. It's your money. You don't need to be, you're not a sacrificial animal. Wouldn't be an animal anyway. And also, it's very nice when people want to reciprocate, and sometimes they can't pay you back in kind, meaning you lend them some money. They may not be able to pay you back in money right away, but they may help out with your house or help you with your kids or something like that. So those are the circumstances under which you help someone out. This author, Ayn Rand, who wrote The Fountainhead, she said, you need to make a fundamental decision in your mind. It's either one way or another. She said, those who grant sympathy to the guilty, your friend is guilty, she could do more for herself that she's not doing, or your soon-to-be ex-friend. She said, those who grant sympathy to the guilty grant none to the innocent. So you want to look for healthier friends, better friends, and cherish the friendships. Judge your friends accurately. You get to know people in layers, so you may find that someone who seems to be a friend turns out not to be a friend. So now, what are your thoughts in listening to this, Anna?
My thoughts is that I know what I have to do. I know what I have to do, and I know I have no excuse why I should go back and talk to her or go back and help her. It's just, I see something good in her. In the beginning, I saw something really good in her. I saw a person that I've known that was very positive, and it was a really, really, really good friend, and was really helpful, and we were there for each other. She was there for my family. I was there for her family. And it just hurts the fact that she had to let herself so much go down. They got into really, really bad standards now.
Yeah, so it's very painful.
It
and you go
more
through grief to see a friend self-destruct.
Yeah.
So you can give me a call back and let me know how things go with this.
Okay.
It's really being good to yourself longer range, because you don't deserve to be in an abusive relationship.
That's true.
So,
I agree with that.
Yeah, so I wish you the best of luck with this.
For more Dr. Kenner podcast, go to drkenner.com and please listen to this ad. Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Drs. Kenner and Locke.
The experience of shared sexual pleasure is important because it greatly strengthens the bond between partners. As long as there's a bond to strengthen, sex can reinforce romantic love, but it cannot create closeness from thin air. It is the expression of love, not its cause. Sex cannot create self-esteem that is lacking in one or both partners. As a celebration, sex expresses self-value, but it cannot fill the void of non-self-value. Lack of sex or unsatisfying sex often undermines a romantic relationship by weakening the existing bond between partners. Sexual dissatisfaction can undermine feelings of closeness and intimacy and send the relationship on a downward spiral that spreads far beyond sex, especially when one or both partners' frustration and anger leads to progressively less sexual satisfaction for both.
Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com and at amazon.com.